is a little more tired today than they were yesterday. No? 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 You guys got all the energy still? I don't know. It doesn't really sound like it this morning. I don't know. Oh, they're getting louder. They're getting louder. Okay, you've convinced me. You've convinced me. All right, today in the Big God story, we're getting to a story I'm sure you've heard about, right? The Israelites, Egypt, Moses, Pharaoh. Who's heard of that before? Yeah, okay. But before we get there, we're going to do a little review, okay? I'm going to go through some review, and when I pause, I want you guys to shout out what you think fills in the blank, okay? All right? So, let's try this. So, God created the world, and he created two people named? Okay, we're good. We got this, okay? But they ran into a slight problem, right? They disobeyed God. Yep, they disobeyed God. And so, they had to leave the
garden,
right? And so, things kept getting worse and worse and worse and worse, and people were not following God, right? Until there was one man named
Noah,
right? And he was following God. So God flooded the earth, basically started over, and he made a covenant with Noah, and he gave him this,
a rainbow,
right, as a sign that he would never do that again, right? And so years later, we meet a man named
Abraham.
You guys are getting quieter and quieter and quieter. We're not sure if we're not sure on the answers here. And God also made a
promise
or a covenant with him, right? God promised that he would make him a great nation, as many as there are what?
Stars
in the sky, right? And then through Abraham's family, he had a son named
Joseph.
He had a son named
Isaac.
Okay. Who had a son named
Jacob.
And then who had a son we met last night named
Joseph.
Okay. Whew. Okay. We made it up until what we've gotten through this week. We got a little rough there at the end, but it goes Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Okay, all right, good review. Great job, guys. So, God kept his promise, and the family members of Abraham, they did become a huge nation, like millions of people. And that was thanks to Joseph, like we talked about last night, saving all the food and storing up food for the time of famine. And this group of people was now called the Israelites. Who's heard that word before? Israelites. Okay? Good. So the Israelites, they lived in Egypt for 400 years. Remember, Joseph took his whole family, moved them to Egypt because that's where all the food was. And Joseph's family, all of his 11 other brothers, they lived in Egypt for 400 years, and over time, they grew into a huge group of millions of people. And so the Egyptian ruler, the Pharaoh, right, the king of Egypt, he wasn't too happy about this because the Pharaoh that was alive when Joseph was there, right, he didn't live to be 400 years old. No, didn't happen. So this was a new Pharaoh. So he didn't really know what Joseph had done and how he had not only saved his own family, but really he saved all of Egypt, right? Joseph wasn't the only one who got the benefit of saving all that food. So many people were saved because of this, okay? So he didn't really know what Joseph had done for Egypt and for his nation. And the Bible says that Pharaoh made slaves out of the Israelites, and he forced them to work really hard, and he even tried to stop their family from growing by killing some of their children, by killing the baby boys. He was not happy with the Israelite people. And Moses, if you've heard of Moses, he was almost one of those people who got killed, but God spared him, God saved him, and he grew up with the Egyptians. Moses grew up with the Egyptians instead of the Israelites, okay? But a lot of things happen. Things continue to get worse. The Israelites are still slaves to the Pharaoh. They're doing all this terrible work. They're not able to worship God, and the Israelites are crying out to God for help. And the Bible tells us that God responded to this situation in this way. It says, after a long time, the king of Egypt died, so the one that was with Joseph, and the people of Israel groaned because they were slaves, and they cried out to God. And their cry for help went up to him, went up to God, and God heard them. And he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob, and God looked on the Israelites, and he had concern for them. He was concerned about their situation. Okay? And at about this time, Moses was all alone up on a mountain. He was now a shepherd. He was tending to sheep, and God appeared to him in a kind of unusual way. Does anyone know what that is? A burning bush. Okay, so we're going to read that together. I want you to open your Bibles, okay? Go ahead and get out your Bibles. We're going to be in Exodus chapter 3. So this is a little farther. Your Bible should go Genesis, then Exodus. Genesis is kind of a long book, okay? So the second book of your Bible. So look for Exodus up in the top corner, and then for chapter 3. Look for Exodus, and then that big 3. Okay. Give you a second to turn there. You got it. Exodus chapter 3. When you've got it, put your pointer finger on your nose. Show me you've got it. We're getting there. Good work. It's a big book. Sometimes it's hard to find right where we need to be. Okay. All right, we're going to read starting in verse 2. But before we do that, okay, you've probably heard this story before. You guys have already been filling in my blanks. You've heard of Moses. You've heard of the burning bush. But today, instead of really focusing on what happens with Moses, what he says, what he's doing, how he's feeling, we're going to focus on what God is saying to Moses. We're going to see what we can learn about God in this story. That's what we're going to focus on this morning. So, starting in verse 2, it says, "There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him from inside a burning bush. And Moses saw that the bush was on fire, but it didn't burn up. And so Moses thought, you know what? I'll go over and see what this strange sight is. Why doesn't the bush burn up? That would be crazy. Has anyone ever seen a fire that didn't burn something? No. No, that's crazy, right? That would set a bush or some type of plant on fire and not burn it to the ground, right? Is not happening, right? So no wonder Moses wanted to go over and, like, see what was going on, okay? So God sees Moses come closer to the bush, and he calls out to Moses. Okay, we're going to keep reading. It says, "The Lord saw that Moses had gone over to look, and God spoke to him from inside the bush, and he calls out, 'Moses, Moses.' 'Here I am,' Moses said. 'Do not come any closer,' God said. 'Take off your sandals. This place you are standing on is holy ground.'" See, God is the Lord. He is holy and he is perfect in every single way. We talked about this earlier this week with Adam and Eve, that God never sins. And that's why he gets this term holy. He's holy because he never sins. He never makes a mistake. And by telling Moses to take off his sandals, God showed Moses that this was a special moment. And it might have seemed a little weird for Moses to take off his sandals, but that's what God asked him to do. And God is always, always pleased when we choose to obey him, when we choose to do what God asks. And so Moses did that by taking off his sandals. Let's keep reading. We're now in verse 6, okay? Okay, so this is God speaking. It says, he continued, I am the God of your father. I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. And I am the God of Jacob. So keeping right in line with that promise we've been talking about. When Moses heard this, he turned his face away and he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord said, I have seen how my people are suffering in Egypt, and I have heard them cry out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to save them from the Egyptians, and I will bring them up out of the land. I will bring them into a good land, and it has lots of room. It's a land that has milk and honey, and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, they all live there. And now Israel's cry for help has reached me. And I have seen how badly the Egyptians are treating them. And so now go. I'm sending you, Moses, to Pharaoh, and I want you to bring the Israelites out of Egypt because they are my people. So God told Moses to go to the Pharaoh and tell him to let the people go, right? To let them go so they could go into the wilderness and freely worship God, freely worship the one true God because he is the Lord. Now, if you had been Moses in this situation, right? You'd probably be like, what? You want me to go to the Pharaoh and just be like, hey, those millions of people, we're gonna go, right? It'd be like, I think you've got the wrong guy. You know what? Why don't you choose someone else for this job? And that is what Moses said. He told God, like, I don't think I can do this. I don't think you've got the right person for the job here. But God told Moses that he would be with him just like he was with Joseph. But Moses, he still had one more question for God. One more question for God. So let's read in verse 13. Okay, verse 13. Okay, he had one final question about this whole situation of letting the people go. Moses said to God, I go to your people. I go to the people of Israel, these millions of people, and suppose, because we're not saying it's happening yet, just suppose, let's play this out, right? Suppose I say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Okay, I say that. And suppose then they ask me, if the God of our fathers really sent you, then what is his name? And Moses is like, how do I answer that? What should I tell them? Right? Because God isn't like a person like you or me. He's not named Kayla or Stephen or Bob or, right? He doesn't have a name like that, right? And he isn't one of the false gods like the Egyptians had, because the Israelites knew that all the Egyptians had these other gods that, you know, controlled the sun and controlled the harvest and controlled the rain. No, God wasn't like that either. God is the Lord. He's holy. He's perfect. He's the God of the universe. And his name is special. And so when Moses asked this question, God told him, God said to Moses, I am who I am. And that's what you tell them if they have questions. You tell them, I am has sent me to you. And this name is important because God connected this name to the promise that he had made with Abraham. And when God makes a promise, he keeps it. God's covenant with Abraham is important because it's God's promise to set the people free so they could worship him. And this couldn't happen. They couldn't be this great nation for God who loves God when they were slaves in Egypt. And God's name is also important because when he says, I am who I am, God's saying, I'm real. I exist. I am the Lord. I am in control. I am in control of all things. And were the gods that the Egyptians worshipped like that? Could they control anything? No. Nothing. No. And God wanted his people, wanted the Israelites to know that they belonged to him and that he called them to be in a relationship with him and that he is the one true God. He is who he says he is. I am who I am. Now this week we don't have time to talk about every single way that God showed this through Moses, because Moses did some incredible things with the help of God. What are some other things that were crazy, miraculous, only God could do that happened in Moses' life? I have a few written. I want to know what you guys know.
He helped figure out what the dreams meant.
Oh, with Joseph, he helped figure out what the dreams meant. No, well, that's good for Joseph, but what about Moses? Right here. Yes, he made bread rain from the sky, which was called manna. Okay, right here. Yep. Ooh, that's a good one. His staff turned into a snake. That wasn't on my list. That's a good one. Right here. That's exactly what happened, right? Moses raised his staff and the parting of the Red Sea, and they were able to get away from the Egyptians. Right here. Yep. Yes, the 10 plagues, one of which was the frogs, right? To show Pharaoh just how powerful God was. What else? Because there are so many things. Yep, they were in the desert with no water, and Moses strikes a rock, and water starts flowing out of a rock. Only God could do that. What else?
Yeah,
even at the beginning of Moses' life, Moses was one of the only Israelite babies who was saved when Pharaoh was trying to kill all of these people. What else? What fell from the sky? Hail. Yes, that was one of the plagues. Good, good. Okay, we'll take a couple more right here. Yes, the last plague where each of the firstborn males died, and not just in the families, but with animals too. The first male died. Okay, one more right here. Oh, yes, there was darkness that came over the land. That's another one of the 10 plagues. If you kept reading in Exodus, you'd also know that when they were in the desert, right, God showed them which way to go. He gave them a big cloud during the day, which not only showed them which way to go, but also provided some shade, because it's probably pretty hot in the desert, right? And then he gave them fire by night to show them which way to go, which also provided a light for them when it was pitch dark, right? He gave Moses the Ten Commandments, and he even trained up a new leader to take Moses' place when he passed away. So what happened with Moses is just one part. You know, our big timeline that we have, it's just one part on the timeline in the big God story that helps us understand who God is. And as we continue this week through the big God story, we'll hear more and more and more and more about how God loves his people. He loves us and he wants to be in a relationship with us. It's what he wanted with Moses. It's what he wanted with the Israelites. And it's what he wants with us right now. And he proved this when he sent Jesus Christ, his son, to die for us. So today, God is still the Lord. He's still holy. He's still perfect. He's still in control. He is who he says he is. He is I am. And he loves us. And he has everything under control. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you. Thank you so much for the Bible, for your word, where we can learn about who you are. God, we thank you that you just provided miracle after miracle for Moses and all we can learn from that, Lord, and that you are still doing that for us today. Lord, we pray that we would know who you are, Lord, that we would know how much you love us, that you have a plan for us, and that you are in control. You are the Lord. God, we give you this day and ask that you would be with us. And everyone said, amen. Amen. All right, you guys may follow your counselors to your next activity. The doorway.
Yeah.
Right. You got that.